No. You know, the Bible speaks of the sons of Issachar, who had a understanding of the times. And I might spend maybe a little bit more sometimes than I should looking at news and trying to understand and see what's going on. In the end, you know, we're not going to be able to affect anything politically, and I don't know that we are too. But we should have an understanding of what's going on, because it correlates exactly with our lives, and we'll do so more and more as the day grows longer. We live in some exciting times, absolutely exciting times. And I want to preach a short message this morning. Turn over, if you would, to Acts 20. Acts 20. Because a lot of people have questions today. A lot of God's people are finding it increasingly more and more difficult to be bold for Christ in this day and hour. I think we're going to see a lot more problems, if you will, persecutions, as Brother Sanders was talking about this morning. And let's read Acts 20 and verse 17. It says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know, from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Verse 24 says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Lord, I pray that you would be with us today. Thank you for Brother Sanders and the church and the lighthouse that it is in this part of the Gulf Coast. I thank you for their burden and vision for missions and supporting missions around the world to see that others receive the gospel. Be with us today, Lord. I ask for liberty to preach this message, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to speak what you've put on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Paul, at the end of his ministry, we find he's headed back towards Jerusalem. He's got a burden to go back to Jerusalem. He has an unction, if you will, from the Holy Spirit of God to go back and preach and witness in Jerusalem. He wants to go to Rome as well. He doesn't know what all it's going to entail, but everywhere he goes, people of God, brothers and sisters, are coming up to him and say, "Paul, it's gonna end bad for you, Paul. Don't go, don't do it. You're gonna get hurt," and all kinds of stuff. And Paul's determined. Paul's determined to see this through. He's determined to be obedient to the Lord. He knows and understands that danger awaits. It could possibly mean his life and all kinds of things. At this point, he's faced so many different things, it doesn't really matter to him. But he's determined to do what God would have him to do. He's a man on a mission. He understands the dangers and afflictions ahead. He's willing to endure them. He's determined to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. He had an idea what lay ahead of him, but he did it anyway. He was almost stoned again in Jerusalem when he got there. He was arrested again. He had to lean on Roman law and the fact that he was a Roman citizen with certain rights under the law. He endured hardship as a falsely accused prisoner and lost his freedoms. He endured days at sea in a hurricane-like storm. And then he was shipwrecked again. And I think this is the worst part, mind you. When he was gathering firewood, he got bit by a snake, a poisonous snake. And that's like heart attack territory there, you know, just like, you know. But the local guys, they were watching him. They were watching him, waiting for him to fall down dead. And when he didn't, they said, well, he must be a god. Anyway, he was put in a Roman prison and ultimately beheaded. That was his end. And he knew it was going to be bad, didn't know how, which way, or whatever. But God used him up into his very last days. Many people in Caesar's household and palace heard the gospel from the prisoner Paul. And so, what an example. What an example of a man who knew trouble, had experienced trouble, had experienced God's provision and protection and providence all throughout his ministry, and experienced God's power to see people and lives transformed by the gospel. And then at the end, as he felt and perceived the Spirit of God leading him to go, he was obedient to go. In face of the dangers, in face of the certain trials and persecutions and getting beat up and stoned and imprisoned again. What a testimony. He knew it was going to cost him. But what did he say? He says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. This is the mindset and the attitude that you and I need to develop for the day and age in which we live. We are living in a time, I believe, we're at the end of time. I believe that we see and have seen for a little while certain things that are taking place that we ought to be seeing at this end time mark from the Scriptures. Let me lay a little bit of groundwork, and then we'll go from there. Anyway, this COVID and conspiracy. COVID is a virus. It's a real virus. It's worldwide. People have died and are dying from it. But notice there's no flu deaths. Right? There's no flu deaths. We generally have 30 to 60,000 people die every year in this country from flu. 80,000, 90,000 on a bad year, but there's no flu deaths. Go figure. This flu is a real flu. I mean, it's a COVID virus. It's a flu-like virus, and now we have a test that's supposed to identify you as being present with the COVID virus, but the maker of it, the inventor of the PCR test, says it's never intended to measure something like this. It can't unless it's amplified, 30 to 40 times, and that's according to the WHO recommendations. And he says once you amplify a substance up to that, you can get anything to pop positive. And so they've had soda cans pop positive papaya fruit and goats and all kinds of things pop positive. Anyway, we're dealing with the questionable science backed by media monopolies, leftist, socialist, and Marxist governments around the world. They push fear, suspicion, and submission, economic destruction, societal breakdown, mental breakdown, and destruction of every sovereign government, and especially of the United States of America. That's the push. But wait, your good friends, Bill and Melinda Gates, they got a plan for you. They're going to help you. And they've rolled out these vaccines. You know, he's invested himself in 7 or 8 of these vaccines. And if you have not studied or heard what the mRNA vaccine is, I challenge you to study it, what it is and what it does. And while we have, up to this point, never had an mRNA-type vaccine because of what it does, you notice they fast-paced it through, no animal studies, no long-term human studies that you generally have for vaccines and stuff. It takes years to figure out what this thing's going to do. None of that. None of that. We got to have it. And they've come up with it and use this mRNA system that literally goes in and will change your DNA. And I don't know how much God's going to allow that. I think DNA is who we are, made in God's image. And we'll see what he does with that. But it will go in and ultimately change your DNA while it sets up your body for a real bad time to give you an autoimmune response when you come across that real virus or another type like it out in everyday life. These people taking these vaccines, some are dying right away because their system just can't handle it. But then I'm afraid the better part of the people are being set up for when they come across another flu-type vaccine a few months down the road. They're going to go into anaphylactic-type shocks, severe autoimmune system responses. That's what they found in mRNA-type vaccines before. That's why it's never been done before. That's why it's never been done. And so just, I challenge you. You know, and I feel I have to tell people that because I'm a Christian, because I'm a born again believer, talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. I love you in the Lord, and I don't think we were meant to take these things. I don't think you were meant to take this thing, and so study it for yourself. So the COVID the COVID and conspiracy now. Conspiracy. Let's just read what conspiracy is. It's a plot or an intrigue, a machination, conspiracy, a cabal. Those are the synonyms for conspiracy. It means a plan secretly devised to accomplish an evil or treacherous end. A plot implies careful foresight in planning a complex scheme. An assassination plot, for example. Intrigue suggests secret, underhanded maneuvering in an atmosphere of duplicity. Backstairs intrigue type. Machination implies contriving of annoyances, injuries, or evils by indirect means. The machinations of a party boss, for example. Conspiracy implies a secret agreement among several people, usually involving treason or great treachery. A conspiracy to fix prices. Boy, that's the truth. Cabal typically applies to a political intrigue involving persons of some eminence. A cabal among powerful sinners, for example. Anyway, I'll read you a couple of quotations from David Rockefeller, the grandson of the great Rockefeller, the first billionaire in America, John D. Rockefeller. Anyway, in his book, David Rockefeller, called Memoirs, he admits to secretly conspiring for a new world order. He says, in David Rockefeller's book, Memoirs, he admits he's part of a secret cabal working to destroy the United States and create a new world order. Here's the direct quote from his book, page 405. Some even believe, says Rockefeller, that we, the Rockefeller family, are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and am proud of it, says David Rockefeller. And he's quoted again at the Trilateral Commission of 1991. He says, we're grateful. Listen to this very carefully. We're grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we'd been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the work is now much more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national auto-determination practiced in past centuries. And they are complicit with the medias, and you got to understand that. That's why you can't, especially you older folks, I think in your heart, you hearken back to a time when we were more innocent as a nation, and there wasn't as much bias, and you could find some real news on TV. But what you've got to understand is that today, there are no mainline medias that will give you the straight on any story. They are all bought and controlled, absolutely. And so you can't switch on the TV and look at CNN or NBC or CBS or ABC. You can't do that. You're going to get fed exactly what they want you to see and hear, and their twist on things. And that's what he's talking about right here, that they've been doing it for decades and not covering the real news. And they're all. And if you go back, I challenge you to read the Humanist Manifesto of 1933, where they come out and say, number one, that there is no God, and then they give the tenets of their faith, if you will, the pillars and their goals to take over the public education systems. All the grade schools, high schools, the colleges, to take over the corporate positions of all businesses and companies, and to take over the medias. And they've done it. They've done it. They've had that done for quite some time. And so they literally control and manipulate people by the medias and in the masses. And so you've got to understand that. And as a born-again Christian, you know, our hope is not in this world, but we need to understand this world. We need to understand how this world works. You know, it's just we're not unaware of the methods of Satan. We're not, and he is definitely in control. He is the God of this world, and for a little while anyway. So you got the COVID and conspiracy. Then you got the Christian and the Constitution. I notice on your table back there, little pocket book constitutions. I love that. Most people have never read the Constitution, have no idea what it says, much less what it means for them. And constitutions, I love this country. I do. I love this country. I've traveled the world, and I've seen a lot of things. There is no country better than the United States of America. The first or the only country in the world in the history of man that's given such liberty to man, to regular normal man, to the peon, if you will, in Spanish terms. And anyway, for time's sake, the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's our First Amendment. And the Second Amendment protects it. Yeah. Amen? I love me in a Second Amendment. And that's one thing I'm going to miss sorely when we go back to Mexico, because you have nothing like that there. But the Constitution is the law of the land. And so it goes hand in hand with Romans 13, to be subject to the law of the land. This gives us all kinds of freedom, and it has cost in years past to protect those freedoms, and it still will cost today. And just looking at news articles, even last night, what Biden and those who control him are trying to do with the gay, lesbian, whatever, all that movement, and force it down our throat via the First Amendment, and even control churches who would speak against homosexuality and that lifestyle and things. So it's going to come real fast. Strong arm tactics of a government out of control will begin to affect our lives and our churches, and so the point being to be aware of these things and understand where it's coming from and how it's coming, not that you go run and hide, because where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? The thing is, we serve a God who is bigger than any of these corrupt thugs. He's all-powerful and all-present and all-knowing. He knows exactly what we're going through, we're about to go through. And He promises still to never leave us or forsake us. And I believe in these last days, He's looking for people who are full of faith in the Spirit of God, who will stand up. Is it going to cost? Yeah, it's going to cost. It's going to cost you economically. It's going to cost your freedom. You'll have God's people going to jail, being allowed to be beat down and maybe killed by BLM Antifa types because they're gods as far as the media and the government's concerned. They can do no wrong. But if you look, that's why I like reading Fox's Book of Martyrs. I think it's important for Christians today to read that. God's people have always suffered. Have always suffered. What did Christ say? He says, if you'll follow me, you're going to suffer persecution. There's no way out of it to follow Christ. And so the writer of Hebrews tells us in 10:24, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We see very clearly the day approaching. How much more are we to exhort one another and edify one another and congregate together? And that's, you know, it's funny, ironic, that's one of the first things they begin to try to attack with this whole COVID shutdown and conspiracy is the church. And you can't assemble and you can't even sing, you know, you just have to stand strong. I know people that are out in California and have stood and now aren't standing, and some others who are stood and they've got hundreds of thousands of dollars of fines leaped up against them. You know what? God can either pay that or eliminate it.
Yeah, right.
He can do that. So, okay. And some people, pastors and leaders of churches, need to be ready to have their ministry changed to a jail ministry from the inside out. I mean, that's what's going to happen. That's where we're at. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to give up? Are you going to give in when the Lord expects you to stand up? So we have an example of Peter and John in Acts 4. It says, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what should we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things that which we have seen and heard.
Amen.
They can say what they want to say. I like when Jesus says, you know, the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. The foxes have their holes and such. And so he looked at the disciples, because the multitude, when he got down and showed them what it was going to cost to follow him and serve him, they left. And he looked at his disciples. He said, will you two leave off from following me? And Peter, he says, where are we going to go? He says, thou hast the words of life. Where are you going to go after coming to Christ? There's nowhere. There's no higher authority. There's no better provider and protector and one who keeps his promises.
Yeah.
Amen. Where are you going to go? Are you going to go back to this world and the beggarly things of the world? You just go on with Christ and be faithful to Him because He's faithful to us.
Amen.
So you got then the Christ and the commission. So we're you know under this conspiracy with the COVID, and we've got the church trying to be shut down and hindered from doing her work on this earth. But we have a constitution in this country, praise the Lord. But then you have Christ and the commission. Because a lot of people, they see all this and they get overwhelmed. They get worried and overwhelmed of what's going on and what's liable to happen. And think about the tribulation and all these things that will be taking place. And how much we're going to see of the days that are coming, only God knows. But I do know this, that Jesus described this time as the birth pains, the setting up, what has to take place in this world to bring it under a one-world government, under a one-world economy, and ultimately a one-world religion. It can't happen like the flip of a switch. You're talking over 200 sovereign nations that have to somehow, some way, either voluntarily or by force or trickery, acquiesce their sovereignty, their own power, and their laws and edicts, and to come under this alliance of nations. And that has to happen economically as well. We see that. And if you look closely over the last couple of decades, you see it more and more and more. Every year, more people, more world leaders are talking about openly about a new world order and the time to come under a one world government. And the Pope and all other leaders talking about a one world economy. And everything's set up electronically, and the technology is all there. It's in place to happen. It's like this World Economic Forum talking about this great reset. They've been waiting for this for years. It's been in the wings, planned out, desired to happen, waiting for an event. Well, the event is the COVID-19 pandemic. It's a worldwide event. They are affecting worldwide governments and economic systems. And they have planned, according to what they openly talk about, is to bring the world economic system to its knees, to its absolute knees in the months to come, to bring about the worldwide system with a digital economy. And we know, your pastor was in the book of Revelation this morning, we know from Daniel and Joel and Revelation that this will come about. A one world government. I believe the economy will come about first before the one world government, and then ultimately a one world religion. We're in that time. We're in the setup period. I believe in a pre-tribulational rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. But that does not mean that you and I will not be pressured and pushed and pressured and pushed to conform and to lay aside and to reject God's teaching publicly. That's what they're wanting to do and pushing. And I think as the pressure gets harder and harder, you're going to see the churches that are real or not.
Amen.
You're going to see the individuals, the Christians that are real or not, the ones that will stand and take. You know, Paul willingly, he knew it was going to cost him, but he did it anyway. He knew, I mean, people who love the Lord or were filled with the Holy Spirit of God were coming up to him and saying, "Look, Paul, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to be." And he went anyway because he was led of the Holy Spirit of God to do so. And so that's the way we have promise after promise after promise from the Word of God about our eternity. And we can believe those. And so we can stand firm and firmly while all this goes on. Christ and the commission. Matthew 28, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power." Because this, here's, you say, what do I do? What do I do? I'm here in Moss Point, Mississippi. And I'm nothing and nobody. Well, you're a light and you're salt. Be used of God. Occupy till He comes. That's the command that He gives. He's given us gifts, and He's given us talents, and He's given us a field to work in. Occupy. Be busy. Be found busy, because He's coming. He's coming one day. He's coming one day soon. I'm convinced of that. And He's going to be looking. And we want to be found occupied when He comes. It says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Listen to this. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Amen.
The Great Commission has an end times context. Amen?
Yep.
He's with you. If it costs you your home and land, He's with you. If it costs you your job, your career, your retirement, He's with you. If it costs you your freedom and you find yourself in jail or a FEMA camp, He's with you. He's with you. Amen? Now, your pastor said something profound a while ago, earlier. He's talking about all these things that we just read over in reading the scriptures and stuff. And it's time for us, all these promises and things said, well, we need to pay attention to that and cling to that. How many times have we read these verses of the Great Commission and skipped over how He promises to be with us even to the very end? We're at the very end, folks. That commission is still before us and on us. And so we're to be busy about us. As we go blazing like a runaway freight train into the end times. And He promises to be with us. I don't know about you, but that gives me a lot of peace and comfort.
Amen.
It really does. Because I don't know what's coming tomorrow. And I have responsibilities as a husband and father with children at home. And we're going to a place that's far worse in many ways than the U.S. is becoming. And I can't control any of it. So God's got to be in control. And we've got to be trusting Him. And you've got to be trusting Him here too. Luke 19:12 says, He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Occupy. You know, the story is one... who worked for the money and invested, the ones who worked for the money and invested were rewarded, and the one that didn't was sorry for it.
Amen.
We're given. God gives us, I believe, certain talents and even gifts of the Spirit to be used to edify the church and to reach this lost world. One day we'll give account for that. A lot of things have to change in our world, our country, and our community to bring about the events of the one world economy, the one world government, and ultimately the one world religion. It's crazy now, and it's like a slap in the face every time you read the news about what's going on. And it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. We have to remember what we're still here for. 1 Peter 3:14 says, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Remember, in context of the problems and terror that will come upon the Christian, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Now here's the thing. For the first time in the history of our country, Christianity and the Scriptures have always had a place of respect and authority and position in this country. That is no longer so. What is good is now called evil. And what is evil is now called good. That's the day in which we live. We knew that was coming. It was prophesied that said that the end times would be like that. Well, we're here now. And so your good conscience, your Christianity, as you preach this and reject that, will be evil spoken of. It will be evil spoken of. And the time will come when provocateurs will be sent along with recording devices and such, I'm sure, to ask you questions, to break you, come to a point of stating publicly something that will be now against the law. And what are you going to do? Are you going to hold back from saying, "Thus saith the Word of God"? Or are you going to speak the truth no matter what happens? You know, from this pulpit, will the truth be preached no matter if the new American Stasi comes busting through that back door? That's the day in which we're living. You need to understand that and be prepared for it. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray ye in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So Christ and the commission. And then very quickly, the church and the coming King of Kings. Folks, we are not like everyone else on this earth. We have the person of the Holy Spirit who lives in us and reveals truth to us from the Scriptures. And in the Scriptures, we find that our Savior is coming for His bride. It's a certain thing. He's coming. And for those that are alive and remain, it's going to be a beautiful thing to see. But we have the great hope. We have the great hope and understanding. This world, I couldn't imagine, and it's only going to get worse. I couldn't imagine being unsaved and trying to face the changes in the country that has protected you and loved you for all these years, your whole life, now to be turning against you. And the sickness and the... in the hypocrisies and the and all the things that we see in the public square and the government and the systems, and to face that without Christ is to be unimaginable. And we see people breaking all the time. They're just breaking under the pressure. Praise the Lord, we have peace with our God.
Amen.
Our sins are under the blood of Christ.
Amen.
If we're not better than these people out here, we're just saved. Would to God they too would accept Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
But to us saved, born-again children of God, we've been given promises. And we need to read and study and get good at remembering those promises and hanging on to them. We really do. Jesus is coming. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I would say, I don't know about you, but no, I do know. If Christ being you, these are wonderfully comforting words.
Yeah.
And they should be. They're meant to be. They're given to us to comfort us. We're not left ignorant like the masses without Christ. We know and understand. We don't know every detail, but we know exactly what's going to be happening. Jesus is going to come. And if we be alive in Christ, we're going to be caught up in the air. If we're dead, we're going to be coming back with Him. And we're going to get a whole new rig here. And so that's pretty cool, exciting. But we've got that promise, the great hope. And how wonderful and calming and reassuring it is that no matter what, the only thing that they can take from me is my birthday. You know? That's all they can do is kill this body. Because I'm going to live forever with my Savior.
Amen.
And that's awesome. And that's something to remember and look forward to and keep always first and forefront in our minds and hearts that this is but a moment, you know, that we are to glorify God until He comes. So thank you, brother. Thank you for having us. Amen.